I welcome you to join me as we read from God's holy word as found in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 through verse 25. Romans 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be made known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who was blessed forever. Amen. Let's pray to God that He will teach us from these words. Our Father, we come before Thee needing to be taught. We come also before Thee giving thanks for what we do know. And we pray, Father, that we might realize how much Thou hast shown us, how much we are without excuse, and we pray that we may not be left today, any of us, as here described, when we knew Thee, that we glorified Thee not as God, and became vain in our imaginations, having our foolish heart darkened. We pray, Father, that as we come before Thee and as we read this word, that we may not profess ourselves to be wise and become fools, but rather that we might know our own foolishness and come to Thee to be made wise. We think of what James wrote, that if any man lack wisdom, we can ask of Thee, who giveth liberally. And we pray, Father, that as we do lack wisdom, that we might have it given from Thee. We think of Solomon, who was made king, and asked for wisdom, and it was given to him. We pray, Father, that Thou would especially give wisdom today in the church. We here read of those in the world who can learn of Thy greatness, of Thy Godhead, of Thy power through nature. And then how much more are we without excuse when we have the gospel, when we have the scriptures, when we have this message from heaven. And we pray, Father, that now we may have the Holy Spirit who led Paul and who ordered him to write these things to guide us into all truth as we need it to give glory to Thy name and to have benefit ourselves and be able to make Thy blessings known to others. We ask it all in Christ's name and give thanks through Him. Amen. As we continue on in this letter of Paul to the church at Rome, a church we may believe was made up of both Jews and Gentiles, he seemed to write to both of them, and he wrote both of the church and of the world. In the beginning here, we read of that message that Paul always wanted to preach. And as he wrote to another church, the church at Corinth, he said, "Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel." We saw in our last message how he wanted to go to Rome, how he was praying to that end, and that he wanted to impart to them some spiritual gift, as we saw from verse 11, how he wanted to preach the gospel to them, as we saw in verse 15, and how that in this he had a concern to make the things of Christ known to that church and to have fruit among them also. He said, even as among other Gentiles. In the preaching of the gospel, there is a bringing forth fruit. When the gospel comes to us, it comes to us telling us that Christ died for our sins. It tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In learning that, and then receiving that wonderful message and that wonderful gift, we also with it have the Holy Spirit who regenerates us and who through Christ enables us to again begin then to love God, both to obey him and to give thanks to him for his unspeakable gift. Paul, after he addresses the church at Rome and describes them and states what he wants to do in visiting them and praying to that end, now begins again to tell them the gospel, and then states, as we read in verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Paul had a great love to the gospel. He had that gospel for himself. He said, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That was Paul's description of the gospel as he wrote to the church at Galatia. He described the gospel in those wonderful words as he wrote to the church at Corinth, when he stated, the gospel which I preached unto you and by which you are saved unless you have believed in vain. And then he goes on to describe it, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. It is God's message from the beginning to the end. He began to give that promise already to Adam and Eve, as it's described in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And the gospel continues to be made known all through the Bible. All those that were inspired to write tell us about God, and telling us about God in such a way that we will know the need of having a mediator, and we will know that a mediator was to come, and a mediator did come. The Messiah was born. If you are a Jewish person, believe that what God stated by Moses, and what he stated to Abraham, what he stated by Isaiah, and by David in the Psalms, has been fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. It may be to you a stumbling block, but to those who believe, it is the power of God unto salvation. Certainly here, Paul states once more his wonderful trust in the gospel, as we read from that verse, that 16th verse, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We have many different kinds of answers, supposedly, for our sins, our problems, our guilt, and all the sad things that take place because of sin. But there is really only one answer. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. It is that which saves us from our sin. That's why the Lord Jesus came into this world. That's why he was named Jesus. The angel said just before he was born, thou shalt call his name Jesus, because he shall save his people from their sins. His people are made known or manifest by all those who believe the gospel. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Paul writes that further in this letter to the church at Rome, in Romans chapter 10. Here, Paul states his wonderful confidence in that gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For many years, it was only made known to the Jews. It was preached in the land of Israel, both by the prophets and also shown by the different types that God gave, the many sacrifices that were offered, the blood that was shed in those sacrifices, all pointed to the cross of Christ. When the Lord Jesus was born and he came here upon this earth, John the Baptist pointed him out and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." After the Jews had rejected it, Paul could also say, as recorded in the book of Acts, "Lo, we go to the Gentiles. We'll go to other nations and other peoples." And as he also said, they will believe it. It was God's plan. It was already prophesied by Isaiah that the Gentiles would hear. Paul especially makes that known in the last part of this letter to the church at Rome, in the 15th chapter, we read in verse 9, "And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name." And again he saith, "Rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people." And again, "Praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people." And again Isaiah said, "There shall be a root of Jesse, for he shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. To him shall the Gentiles trust." Here, as Paul was writing to this church at Rome, he was quoting from the Old Testament those things that had been spoken of what would happen in the future and how the Gentiles also would hear and believe the gospel. After the Lord Jesus died and rose again, he commanded his apostles to that repentance and remission of sin should be preached among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Yes, it was still to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Paul goes on in verse 17, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." In this letter to the church at Rome, the gospel is set forth wonderfully. It is also shown in this letter that the way that we receive it, or the way that God applies it to us, is through faith, through believing it, through showing us our need, and then showing us that that need can be met through Christ, his Son, in the way of his life, death, and resurrection. Again, listen to those words, speaking of the gospel of Christ. "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." The Jews did not submit to that righteousness. Paul writes of that in the 10th chapter, where he states in verse 3, "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every one that believeth." It is the righteousness that God gave. It is the righteousness that we must submit to if we are to have a right relationship with God. When Paul went to the church at Corinth, he stated in his second letter, the 5th chapter, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. God is doing this through Christ. As we read, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith." Paul was not only one who believed that and could state that of God, but he was also one called by God and by the Lord Jesus Christ to make it known. In verse 20 of that fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." The only way we can be reconciled to God is to believe on his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. When one wanted to be saved and asked what must I do to be saved, Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." This is God's righteousness for us. God has many righteous ways that he sets before us, but through none of them can we gain righteousness. Paul writes further in this epistle, that by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But by Christ is the knowledge of righteousness, the righteousness that God gives us through his Son, the righteousness that the Lord Jesus himself provides for us in his perfect life and in his death, in dying for sinners like you and me. Listen again to those words, verse 17, Romans 1. "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." If I am to be just before God, it must be totally by believing on another person. It must be totally submitting to the only way of righteousness that God has provided for me, and that is through Christ. It is not in myself. It is not in another. It is only in him. Paul knew that. The church at Rome knew that, and he continued to convey it to them by means of this letter, and to convey it to us as well, as we have here this eternal word of God. The Lord Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away." The word that God gives us, the word of the gospel of his Son, the gospel of grace, will never pass away. It will do its work in calling sinners to God and to Christ. And when it has finished that work of having the gospel preached, then Christ will come back and gather his own unto himself. There is the gospel, the good news. But there also continues the fact that God is angry with sin. And anyone and everything outside of Christ is under his wrath. After Paul has stated this wonderful gospel, the gospel of Christ, and declared that it is revealed from faith to faith, or is known by believing it, he states the contrast in verse 18. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be made known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power in Godhead, so they are without excuse." God not only sets the gospel before us, the good news that Christ died, he also sets before us the reason why we need it so desperately. If we do not have that gospel, that good news, we are under the wrath of God. Not just arbitrarily, but for the reason here stated. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And that's what we do. By nature, we have no excuse not to believe the truth. Some people in this world probably only know the truth of creation, as it is also stated here, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even as eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. Others of us have more than just God showing himself in nature. We have his written word. We have his holy law. We have all the history given in the scripture. The history of creation. And how that in the beginning, God made the heaven and the earth. Yes, we have it. We have the scriptures. The Jews have the scriptures. Many nations have the scriptures. It is probably actually available in all nations. There are very few where it is not known. There may be still some nations that do not have it in print in their own language or particular areas in their dialects. But in the main, it is known throughout the world. And yet, it is refused. We read here, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." That is true of the truth that is revealed in nature, and that is especially true of the truth that is revealed in the Word of the living God. And every one of us are prone to do it. I did it for many years. I had the Word of God, but I did not actually believe it. I remember one time standing out in the field and as it were looking around and looking at the heavens and stating, "I wonder if there's really a God." Unbelief began to show itself in me. We probably just often take for granted when we're brought up in the church that we just believe all of this. But how do we believe it? We hold the truth in unrighteousness. And even for those who might adamantly say, "I believe the Bible from cover to cover," it's very quickly proven that they don't in the many acts of disobedience that every one of us do. If we really believed in God as we ought to believe in God, we would also obey him. We wouldn't hold that truth in unrighteousness, which we all do. We can take God's holy law, which was given to Israel when they came out of Egypt, and which was spoken at Mount Sinai, and the whole mount was, as it were, on fire. And the people were afraid when God spoke those 10 words or those 10 commandments. And later God wrote them on 2 tables of stone, delivered them to Moses. But the people didn't keep them, nor do we today. We have them. In the United States of America, there are many who are refusing to have them even shown or known. We don't want them spoken about in our schools. We hold the truth in unrighteousness. We have it, but we don't want it. What a terrible thing to deny our Creator, to deny the true lawgiver, the one who has given perfect laws. And he's given them not only for his own glory, he's given them for our happiness. If we would obey the law of God, we would be happy. But we haven't obeyed God, either by the light of nature or by his holy laws given in his word. But God has given a new and living way, a way in Christ, the way of the gospel, or look to God through Christ today.